Hi, this is Harry Thompson from the Institute of Welsh Affairs. The Institute of Welsh Affairs, or IWA, is Wales's leading independent think tank. We pride ourselves on our track record of shaping debates and influencing change in policy in Wales through our policy research and advocacy, our online and printed magazine, The Welsh Agenda, and our events. We're a membership organisation with members across the country and far further afield. We're funded by our members, the events we run ourselves, and independent trusts and foundations. At the IWA, we have been keeping a close eye on the levelling up agenda, analysing its impact on the relationship between Welsh and UK governments, and recently launching our reports on the challenges and opportunities of levelling up for businesses. In this episode, we spoke to Sam Rowlands MS about the Levelling Up Fund and what it means for Wales. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the IWA's podcast on Levelling Up. And a particularly big welcome to the Welsh Conservative Shadow Minister for Local Government and MS for North Wales, Sam Rowlands, who's joining us today. For those of you who didn't know, Sam was born and raised in North Wales and was leader of Conwy County Borough Council before being elected to the Senedd. So he's well placed to talk to us today about the future for Levelling Up in Wales. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Not at all. Great to be with you, and I hope you're having a good summer so far.
Thank you. You too. The weather's been good on and off. So let's start broad. What do we need to see from the next UK Prime Minister, whoever she may be, in terms of levelling up in Wales?
Well, whoever he or she may be, it's going to be an intriguing few days ahead of us. I think, you know, it's been really interesting sort of few weeks, first of all, as a, you know, Conservative Party, to see different policies coming forward from those who are seeking election. I was actually also encouraged to see this sort of the wider group of people putting their names in the hat. As a party, I was quite proud to see the level of diversity amongst our elected members in Westminster. But in terms of who he or she may be in terms of the next leader of the Conservative Party, the next Prime Minister. I think in the context of Wales, what I'm looking forward to is that continued ongoing understanding relationship between how UK government interacts with devolved powers here in Wales, and an appreciation of some of the particular issues that we do facing Wales, both in terms of what is devolved and those issues that remain at a UK level. I'm really confident that in both candidates who are left in there, Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, both of them genuinely want to see Wales thrive and prosper. I want to see both a devolved government enabling that, but also a UK government enabling that too.
Thanks, that's really interesting. And you've touched on one of the questions we have later on, one of the more challenging ones, but we may as well jump straight into it. Do you think the lack of inclusion for the Welsh Government and the Senedd in decision-making around these levelling up funds, as was the case when they were given by the European Union, is justified?
I think what we're really keen to see, and Welsh Government are really keen to see, Plaid Cymru in particular, in propping up Welsh Government, are most keen to see, is devolution functioning really, really well. And I do find it ironic that those in Welsh Government and in Plaid Cymru really keen to see devolution, as long as it doesn't go beyond sort of Cardiff Bay. So I don't have an issue at all with seeing decision making being made closer to home. It's what certainly Plaid Cymru really keen to see. And I find it really intriguing when we see devolution taking place at a local authority level. And, you know, we're looking at councillors here who the community really know well, and they put their X in the box in an election for them, and they bump into them in the street probably week in, week out. And that level of interaction, engagement with your local councillor must be one of the most powerful levels of democracy. in terms of that interaction with the electorate and those who are elected. So that, again, accountability, that responsibility at a very local level, I think is a really powerful thing. And I think it's been quite a brave move by the UK government to empower those who are most locally elected to make decisions which affect their communities the most. And, you know, I represent North Wales, as you mentioned on the introduction, and sometimes this can feel a million miles away from Cardiff Bay. Both in terms of the culture and certainly some of the decision making, because actually most of our economy and most of our people sort of interact at east west sort of basis, not necessarily north and south basis. So you know, I'm really encouraged. Actually, my constituents here in North Wales will be able to interact very locally with their local councillors in terms of decision making for funding in their area.
That's a really interesting point, and I've given your brief as the Shadow Minister for Local Government for the Welsh Conservatives, and with your background in local government as well, a former council leader, I'm interested in what you think the future is for local government in Wales, particularly with regards to levelling up and economic development, because, you know, we're now in a situation where we've got city deals and local authorities, and we've got the new CJCs coming in, and now we've got a role for levelling up for regions as well. I wonder where you'd like to see localised devolution in Wales go. You know, if you were to win the next Senedd election to become the Welsh Government Minister for Local Government, I'd be interested in seeing where you like localised devolution in Wales to go and how it could be used to level up Wales.
There's a real risk at the moment that some of the regional things are moving power. Is moving power away from those who are locally elected as councillors. So we know, for example, so just take North Wales, the patch I probably know best. And we have the Economic Ambition Board, which covers many of the economic sort of levers in North Wales. You've got public service boards that generally work on a sort of a co-local authority base, like Conwy, Denbighshire, for example, working together on those things. We have a regional partnership board as well, which is between social care and health services. And Welsh Government recently have introduced corporate joint committees to also work at a regional level to deliver things like around regional transport, again, levers around the economy. And then we also have, sorry, just keep going about this, but just to be really clear on some of these things that are happening, not at a local level anymore, but a regional level, we have education consortia. Now, these things in themselves aren't necessarily bad. Because what they're trying to do is encourage people to work together and for services to function across county borders, whereas most of us don't really see county borders. We travel to work or travel to the shops or whatever. But the risk in all this is actually those who are democratically elected to make decisions on behalf of their residents, they may not have the same level of interaction or the ability to scrutinise decisions being made at this regional level. So that's a risk I see at the moment, and it's something I raise consistently in the Senedd. But how do we make sure Joe Bloggs, when he puts his X in that box to vote for Mrs. Jones as their councillor, how do they know that person's going to be able to hold people to account for delivering the services they need? At a local council level, it's fairly straightforward. There's a committee meeting, there might be a cabinet who makes a decision, and there's a meeting where they're held to account for that. So in these regional bodies, it's a little bit more blurry. So that's something that I would want to have real clarity on and ensure that there's real scrutiny around those regional bodies making big decisions with fairly big budgets these days that affect all of our lives. So that's just an example of some of the risk I see in local authorities going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's come up in conversations in my job as well. I won't name names, so I was having a conversation with someone involved in delivery of economic development projects, and they did say that they find the regional deals, city and growth deals with you know, the backing of Welsh Government, UK Government, local authorities, with the big funding that comes with it, and the powers are all, the levers at all stages are really good for delivery. But they did say, like you're saying, that it was accountability that they were particularly worried about. I wonder if you've had a chance to think about any particular policy options for increasing accountability for these regional development bodies to sort of get the best of both worlds, where you can have that delivery and the funding that comes with large regional deals, but also making sure that Mrs. Jones on the street can be confident that what she's doing and what she's voting in the ballot box is actually having an impact on the decisions made at a regional level. Have you thought of any mechanisms for that?
Yeah, I think so. The issue at the moment probably is that those who have the voting rights on these boards generally are the council leaders. So you could say there's a way of keeping them on their toes. You know, a council leader is elected by their councillors to hold that position. So usually on these boards, it's the council leaders in that region who have the voting rights and some decision making. But perhaps there should be others with the voting rights, not just one person from each council. To me, that's disproportionate in itself, first of all, because, you know, different councils are different sizes. Particularly in South Wales, we see some, you know, big councils like Rhondda Cynon Taf, and we see some really tiny councils. And similar to North Wales, Anglesey is a fairly small council compared to Gwynedd, right next door to which we're quite a big beast, really. So there probably is a role for those who aren't necessarily council leaders. As you said, I was a council leader. It's an amazing role to have. It's actually quite powerful in terms of decision making, as these regional bodies have started to show. But perhaps there should also be some opposition members in amongst some of that thinking, not necessarily decision making, because actually a council leader has democratically been elected to make decisions on behalf of its council. But there probably is a role there for others to be, you know, more regularly involved in those decision making, rather than just an annual report going to council, which invariably will just get nodded through because it will be, you know, 300 pages long and won't actually tell you a great deal. It's actually involved in the decision making along the way, where others probably should get involved a bit more.
Thanks. And, you know, the topic of this podcast, the future of levelling up. I wonder what your opinions are on why past attempts at levelling up have been less than successful. So, for example, work in the 1990s to redistribute wealth from London and the southeast of England to the rest of the UK, but maybe not enough emphasis on building the economies of less productive areas. I wonder what your thoughts are on why those past attempts at levelling up have been less than successful, and if you think that the current funds are enough to make a success at this time, and if not, what more is needed?
Yeah, it's really a really interesting question. I'm fairly young, so in terms of my personal experience of that through the 90s, I was probably in school most of that time, so probably didn't take much notice. I was probably playing football on the AstroTurf at lunchtime and after school, rather than keep an eye on the economic developments of North Wales. But from what I understand and from what I know, we've kind of created a bit of a culture in some ways of being reliant on government grants and government funding to enable businesses to flourish. Now, I would be of the opinion that I understand some of that in terms of seed funding and in terms of infrastructure, in terms of education, and the things I believe government really should be responsible for. But if a business genuinely is a viable business, it should really be able to stand on its own two feet. It should be able to wash its own face, if nothing else. And I've been lots of meetings in the past, certainly, where one of the first questions by a prospective business is, what grants are available and what funding is available for me to make this happen? And so I think we need to sort of look at ways of weaning ourselves off that culture of looking for grant handouts all the time and make sure we are seeing viable businesses being created and encouraged and flourishing rather than relying on government handouts all the time. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a role for that. There is a role for that, and that does need to happen. But I think perhaps some of the lessons that we need to think about from the past, as you say, is all that money to be funneled into areas, and what have we actually seen in terms of sustainable long-term productive growth off the back of their funding, I would argue some of it's quite hard to see, and there's not always a huge amount of evidence to show that money has enabled sustainable businesses to flourish.
And that's interesting. So how do you think, because this brings me to another question that I had written down actually, then how do you think we ensure focus on building the private sector in the regions of Wales is a success to create lasting growth and improvement to quality of life? Because I think something we've seen across the UK is that where we have successfully levelled up outside of London, the South East, it has been largely based on cities. There's been a lot of agglomeration. You look at cities like Manchester, in some ways they are thriving, and Cardiff as well in Wales. Obviously, Shadow Minister for Local Government, but also MS for North Wales. I'm interested in your thoughts on how Wales builds the private sector in regions where they don't necessarily have a major city to lean on in that way. What would be the Welsh Conservative answer to that?
I think we've got some amazing opportunities in front of us in Wales, and in North Wales, rural areas in particular. So, you know, brought into sharp focus over recent years or even recent months has been the absolute necessity for us to be much more self-productive and reliant on things like food and energy. And real sort of basics of, you think, Maslow's hierarchy of need is right down in some of the foundational stuff that we need to be producing ourselves. And that's, I think, perhaps where Wales, rural Wales, can really step up and continue to flourish in areas which it's doing well at the moment. So we could see a whole revival around food production. And this is where I struggle sometimes with some of the language that comes out of Welsh government. Is there seems to be a tone being set, which seems at times to be sort of anti-agriculture, anti-farming. And that's really not helpful, because a lot of what business relies on is confidence. And confidence isn't always a black and white metric. It can sometimes be a feeling. And when a government, its tone and its language doesn't seem to be always that encouraging, we think of things like NVZs, things like the approach to dealing with bovine TB, it sets a tone to our farmers and our food producers, which really isn't encouraging for them to want to invest in their areas. So coming back to the question, the point, there's an opportunity around food production, around farming, around agriculture to expand and to do things really well, really good quality. There's a massive opportunity around green energy production. So coming back to the basics of what we need to perhaps produce ourselves as a UK nation, energy production has to be there, and we have huge opportunity, especially in our marine energy. Think about tidal energy, which is really not being properly thought through at the moment, in my opinion. And the number of jobs that will then create. We got the UK government pushing ahead with nuclear energy, and Wales needs to be seen as a place which is welcoming for that, because again, the jobs it creates in rural parts of Wales in particular. And then thinking about areas where we already do well, and again, coming back to this issue around tone and language, you know, our tourism sector is huge in Wales, but some of the tone language around that at the moment from Welsh government is so negative, and there's tens of thousands of jobs which rely on that flourishing business, which could be encouraged. And I think probably the fourth area off the top of my head, which I think we could progress well in, is around advanced manufacturing. And this is generally more, slightly more urbanised areas. I mean, everything's relative, Deeside being perhaps more urban, Wrexham being more urban compared to other parts of Wales, but also areas in South Wales where advanced manufacturing is a huge opportunity, because we've got the skills and we've got the proven track record of delivering those areas. And so all of that requires strategy around training, around education, to deliver on those. I've given four areas that I think are really clear and obvious where we could flourish in the future as Wales.
Thanks very much. That's really interesting to hear. We're going to take a quick break now and plug some of our training, and then we're going to come back and talk about public transport investment and the Welsh Government's economic strategy. If you'd like to support our work to make Wales better and show your commitment to a strong, confident Welsh democracy and a successful, clean and green economy, you can become a member or leave us a one-off donation. It's easy. Just go on the IWA website support us page. We also provide high quality training. To find out more about the workings of Welsh Government, learn about the ins and outs of campaigning and effective policy making, check out our training sessions on our website. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a good break and a good message from our sponsors, ourselves. We're still here with Sam Rowlands, Shadow Minister for the Welsh Conservatives in the Senate, North Wales MS, on this podcast talking about the future of levelling up in Wales as we wait to see who the new Prime Minister is. Sam, Welsh Government economic strategy and the targeting of its own funds towards strategic priorities. I don't suppose you could say a few words about where you think the Welsh Government is getting its economic strategy right and where you think it's getting its economic strategy wrong. It doesn't have to be both, could be either or. How could it be improved, and what would the Welsh Conservatives do differently?
Yeah, good questions. And just before we dive into that, I appreciate the quick break. Thank you. Made sure my kids were being appropriately occupied as we work from home over the summer. But in terms of Welsh Government economic sort of priorities, I think there's some of the focus around, I mentioned earlier, around sort of advanced manufacturing and that relationship with some of the private sector companies there. I think that's a positive. I'm not going to slate everything the Welsh Government does, because they certainly do some things right and well. I know historically they've done good stuff around events as well, to be fair. In terms of promoting Wales as an exciting place to come and to be. The whole, I mentioned tourism earlier, some of their focus previously around adventure tourism and trying to crank up some of the quality around tourism, I think is the right thing to do as well. But I think there are some areas where they, I would say they're failing on, quite frankly. And when it comes to the economy, I think these areas are significant as well. The first is house building. We know that, first of all, homes are needed on a practical front for people to live in, but at an economic level, the construction industry and everything related to that in terms of supply chain could be a lot more significant than it is today. We know that by Welsh Government's own numbers, and they say that around 12,000 new homes should be being built in Wales every year just to keep up with demand. And over the last 10 years, I'm not sure they've ever built any more than 7,000 or enabled any more than 7,000 to be built. So we've seen around half the number of homes being built that should be. And that not only is an issue in terms of having spaces for people to live in, and we're seeing the evidence of that now with increasing homelessness across the country, but it's also from an economic point of view, it's just stupid, because actually there's a whole host of jobs and economic growth that can be linked to house building. That's one area I think they're failing in at the moment. The second area is their complete pullback in terms of investment into road transport. I understand the ambition around carbon neutral and trying to reduce car journeys, but the fact that they've stopped a number of schemes and projects on road building, I think is really short-sighted. And is going to have a real detrimental effect on our economy here in Wales. Because again, come back to the point I made earlier about sending a tone, sending a message to investors and developers in particular. When government isn't willing to push ahead with projects like these, I think it sends a message out that Wales isn't wanting to move forward, isn't wanting to expand, isn't wanting to encourage growth. And I think that then makes investors nervous about investing into Wales. They're going to put money where government is really backing schemes and excited about infrastructure schemes in their area. Roads, houses, I think are two areas in sort of economic growth that Welsh government aren't even close to getting right at the moment. But happy to give a bit of credit on some of the areas I mentioned earlier.
Thanks for the answer. So now is the question where the obligatory question where I plug some of my own work. I've just been doing a report on the Welsh government's fiscal firepower and a bit of a deep dive into the potential for increasing its borrowing powers in order to increase the amount of fiscal firepower available to the Welsh government to undertake major projects in Wales. I wonder what your thoughts are on that. With your background, you know, in the Senedd and in local government, we've got, you know, funding pots available from City and Growth Regions deals, from Levelling Up, from the Welsh Government, but that we do find that there's a lack of funding available for the Welsh Government with its finite budget over and above that needed to deliver public services, its public service obligations. I wonder what your thoughts are on that and how we can increase the amount of fiscal firepower available for major projects in Wales.
I'll be really honest with you, I haven't read the report. Maybe a good excuse, I don't know if it's actually been finished yet.
It's out on September the 15th. You can join
it's in the diary, and I'll make sure my day is absolutely clear to read that from front to back, to look forward to that. In terms of funding that Welsh government has at the moment, let's be really clear about this. They've got the biggest settlements ever in recent years. You know, we're getting close to £20 billion of spend available to government every year. Now, granted, that is just generally spend on services that are absolutely necessary. Our health service, which accounts around half of that budget, the education, some of these sort of big beasts of spending, which government has to make sure is funded properly. But this constant cry for not having enough money, I do take that with a fairly decent pinch of salt, because they have more money than ever. And actually, many of the areas they are spending money on, they continue to fail. My region, North Wales, health service here receives record amount of funding, but it continues to not deliver the services that my residents need year in, year out. So just get that point on the table, first of all. But I think I'm not sure we're looking at this through the wrong lens at times, because there's no such thing as government funding, of course. It's your money and it's my money that is being spent on my behalf. So let's just, again, be really clear on that. There's no magic government pot of money. It's my taxes, your taxes that are being spent every single year. So I wonder whether one of the ways to look at this is actually about how can government encourage the big pots of private sector funding that are out there to be spent in our communities to enable jobs and to grow businesses across Wales? Because we know, for example, in my patch in North Wales, there's fairly big investments taking place by private sector businesses. There's a new paper mill being built in my patch, where we're looking at hundreds of millions of pounds of investment by private companies. That's a great example where the infrastructure is being built there. There's a road there that's going to work really well. There's a great electrical connection. There's a great site with other infrastructure around rail and that sort of thing, which then draws down hundreds of millions of pounds of investment. We've got Airbus in my region as well. Again, with the right investment from government around infrastructure, around power, around things like broadband, these businesses will then be willing to spend their money. I wonder sometimes if we're looking at this through the wrong lens. And perhaps the question we should be asking is not what and how can government get more money, but how can governments encourage the drawdown of billions of pounds from the private sector to enable them to grow and to create more real sustainable jobs, not taxpayer funded or taxpayer backed jobs all the time, actual real jobs that will sustain for a long time. And we won't then see the repeat of the issues we talked about a few moments ago through the 90s and perhaps the noughties, where millions of pounds have been spent and we're struggling to see now what difference that's actually made.
And that brings us nicely back onto levelling up. One of the key levelling up missions covers public transport quality and availability. Given the complicated nature of the devolution of transport, particularly rail infrastructure, would you like to see more investment from the UK government in rail or for spending in England, such as on HS2, to be privatised to allow for increased transport investment in Wales?
I think the HS2 position from us Welsh Conservatives has been really clear. We think that actually that there should be barnetisation, is that a word? Let's go with that. A barnetisation of a decent chunk of that money. I think certainly many of my residents in northeast of Wales and will still benefit clearly from improvements at Crewe and moving into sort of northwest of England, and many businesses will see that improvement if they need to travel down to London or elsewhere. I think it's a harder argument for some of my residents down in west of my region, or certainly those constituents, members representing Pembrokeshire and areas like that, to really feel that benefit from a HS2 investment through England. And we've seen Scotland have received a decent chunk of barnetised formula up there. So we will continue to encourage our colleagues in Westminster to understand how there could be further investment as a result, either directly from HS2 or a recognition actually. We get the investment right around infrastructure, around rail in particular, we can see a real strengthening of the Union of the United Kingdom as well, because clearly rail works across individual countries of the United Kingdom. And I think for Westminster government, that could really be a benefit of the strengthening of the United Kingdom in the long term.
And you'd like to see, so the Welsh Conservatives are interested in HS2 being privatised. Would you like to see those funds going to the Welsh Government if you were successful in calling for them to be privatised?
I think they need to go wherever it's going to deliver those things in the most practical way. So I guess Welsh Government would have some of that. But the nature of rail isn't necessary on an English and Welsh border basis. So I'll be really honest with you, I don't know where that would best work. But it just needs to be really practical about this. I think some of the ideology around some of these issues are really quite frustrating. And I think the sort of normal man or woman on the street doesn't get that. They just want to get to work as easy as possible, want to drop their kids off at school as easy as possible. They don't want to see a wrangle between Welsh and UK government as to who has what pot of money. They just want to make it work fast and efficiently as possible. I think there's interesting opportunities. We mentioned earlier some of the city and growth deals. But things like the Mersey D Alliance, I think, are really interesting because that's a cross-border growth deal or opportunity there between northwest of England and northeast of Wales. Those sort of bodies might be really interesting. So, for example, within there, you know, they're looking at rail investment into Chester Station, which absolutely makes a huge difference for Wales. Okay, Chester is in England, we all understand that. But in terms of what difference investment there will make to the rail infrastructure and the efficiency and the speed of rail in Wales, it's a game changer. So we can't just sit here and say, talk about money being spent in Wales, investment in Welsh infrastructure, because actually stuff that happens in England makes a huge difference to our ability here in Wales.
Welsh Conservative Shadow Minister for Local Government and MS for North Wales, Sam Rowland, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. It's been really good fun. Good chat.
You can find a link to the IWA's reports on Levelling Up in the episode notes. Thanks to Sam Rowland's MS for taking the time to join us today, especially as we just found out at the end of the episode he's actually on holiday.